Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you want to feel life and not just live it, if you want to get more than you give, then listen to this episode and Kanani Briggs. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Kanani Briggs. Now, Kanani is from New Jersey, and by day, she has an Arbonne business. She has two sons that she cares for, but her passion is serving those in need. So it's philanthropy, it's fundraising, charity, and she does this through the nonprofit Mission of Hope Haiti. So first, Kanani, I just want to welcome you to Motivate Me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you know, we do start our show with a passage that's meaningful to the guest, and I know you have one that you would like to share today, so I'm really excited to hear it.
Okay, great. And this is by Marianne Williamson, and it's familiar to a lot of people, but it has always held a lot of meaning for me. And so here it is. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be?
I am familiar with that passage, and it's one of my favorites. Tell everybody, how do you connect to that?
What connects me most to this passage is that I truly believe that every single person has a light inside that's meant to be shared with the world. And I think that so many of us, especially as a mom in my 40s, I think so many of us, that light just kind of gets covered up with busyness, and we lose our passion and we lose that uniqueness about us. And this passage just connects to me because I feel that that's exactly what it speaks to, is that we all have this light and we all need to let it shine as brightly as we can.
And you know, you say lose the passion, and I think that, you know, maybe we're not acting on it. And when you say lose, it's like, that's the saddest part, because it's not like we forget it. It's like Right. We're angry inside because we know it's there and we're not doing anything about it.
Right.
I'm a believer in that. And, you know, the other connection I see too in that passage for you specifically is, I know that the organization that you're affiliated with, Mission of Hope Haiti, part of their mission statement is to bring life transformation to
Yes. Every
man, woman, and child in Haiti. And I see you connecting with that on your own and in your life, but also wanting to give back to that through this organization to people who, I mean, talk about struggling with connecting to your passion.
Absolutely.
How did this passion begin for you?
So I've always had kind of the calling to serve others. I've always been involved in community service, in nonprofits locally in my community. And I've had this inside something telling me that I wanted to take it to a global scale. I've had a vision of myself and my family building a school in Africa, or, you know, I've always had kind of these grand ideas of serving on a big scale. And it was always just tucked away. You know, life happens and you're busy, and I try to serve in ways that I could within my community, and that always brought fulfillment, but I felt that there was something else. And so a friend of mine, another Arbonne colleague, posted pictures of herself in Haiti with these children. And when I saw the picture, I was on vacation with my family, I saw this Facebook picture, and something moved inside of me, and I messaged her immediately, and I said, I don't know what you're doing in Haiti or anything about this, but I know I have to be involved. And she said, enjoy your vacation and call me when you get back. And that's how it started. And she introduced me to Mission of Hope. And before I knew it, a couple weeks later, I was on a plane and I went to Haiti.
And isn't that the truth, though, that when you see what you want to do, nothing stops you?
That became so clear to me how finding that and connecting to that, it just has a momentum all its own. And it just propels you forward into action, into motion, into making it happen.
Can you tell us, what are some of the things that you do? How do you serve? What are you physically doing when you go to Haiti?
Yeah, so the project that I became involved in is called Vision 90, and it was started by two Arbonne consultants who had been traveling to Haiti with their families, working with Mission Hope for multiple years, and they were on a trip there, and there was a need. So a lot of the families are living in what's called tent cities. They're in these blue tarp tents that were put up as temporary structures after the 2010 earthquake. So they were never meant to be these long-term homes, but they've become that because there have been no other options for these families in these villages. So these two consultants saw a village and saw all of these mostly single moms and their children living in these conditions in these blue tarp tents that were falling apart, and they were taped together, and there's no door, and there's all this heat, and you know, they're just not meant to be homes for people. And they felt moved to do something about it. So they talked to Mission of Hope and they said, what would it take to get all of these families into an actual home? And Mission of Hope said, it's about $6,500 to build an actual home for a family. And we have about 90 families who need homes. And that's how Vision 90 was born. They decided that they're going to spread the word that there are people in need living in these tent homes. And let's try to fund 90 homes in 90 days for the families in Haiti. And so that's what I got involved in. I started a campaign. So I'd never been to Haiti. I really didn't know a whole lot about it, but I was very moved by what they were doing, and I connected with the need there. And so I started a campaign to raise money, and I said, you know, to my family, we can raise $6,500 and we can build a home and make a difference, a lasting difference for another family. So that was my first step. I started an online fundraising campaign to build a home for a family.
And how did that go?
It was amazing. And I think it was because of the passion that I felt for what I was doing. I felt so connected to it that it was very easy for me to communicate this need out to other people. And really, in the scheme of things, $6,500 to build a home, to change the life of a family, it's nothing. You know, people here in the United States, we spend thousands and thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars on homes. So to be able to really affect change with such a small amount of an investment, I think people connected to that and people were happy to donate. So I started asking I worked with my 13-year-old son, and he's like, Mom, if you ask 65 people to give you $100, you'll have it. And I said, we know 65 people that could give $100. And that's what we did. And within, I would say it was probably 12 days, I had my home fully funded.
You know, I'm a firm believer in the power of numbers. I mean, I'm the fourth of five kids. So whenever we had to do anything, let's say we had to, you know, do the laundry even. I mean, clean the house, or it could be something bigger. But whatever we had to do, when everybody plays one small part, it's amazing
right.
how quickly things can get accomplished and how big things become small.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was our, you know, we took that step and we were so, it was, we just all celebrated. My whole family was just on board with it. And I knew that I wanted to then take my children and my husband, and we would go and we would meet the family that we were able to build the home for. And I knew that was, you know, sometime in the future. And that motivated us. And every time somebody made a donation, you know, we did a little dance and we were like, oh, we're that much closer. We need 30 more people. And it's just amazing when you find something that fulfills you and brings you so much joy while you're giving back to someone who is in such need. It's amazing how you just, I mean, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited to get up every morning and see who else I could reach out to and who else can I share the story with and who else can I get involved. And so many people out there are looking for ways to make a difference in other people's lives. And I felt like this campaign, it was very simple, but it gave people the opportunity to feel like they were part of something bigger and part of something that was really going to make a difference for another person.
And that's exactly what I say on the show all the time. You know, get something in your life that makes you want to wake up the next day, something
right.
that excites your life, something that makes your life more meaningful. So did you get to meet that family yet? Did that happen?
Yeah. So I had not planned to go to Haiti, you know, right away. They're going to be built. They should be breaking ground very soon. And then we were going to go with my family this summer. But then an opportunity came up for me probably within a week after I had started my campaign. I got a call that they were looking for some Arbonne consultants to go to Haiti and just to start meeting the families, take a look at the land that was purchased and really kind of bring the vision back to help share the experience more. And I jumped on it. And so I was able to go to Haiti in November, and I did meet these amazing families who really just changed my life in so many ways. And I was able to meet them, and I came back even more on fire and inspired to do even more. You know, you come back and you say, great, I funded one home, but you can't stop there. You know, the need is just so great there. So then I came back and I continued my fundraising, and I continued to think of other ways that I could help. You know, I'm a mom, I have two boys. While I would love to jump on a plane and go to Haiti all the time, that's not realistic for my life. So I had to think about how can I still be part of this and make a difference, but do it in a way that still fits into my lifestyle and my responsibilities here. So I decided to become an ambassador and just share my experience and try to connect others to Mission of Hope in hopes that, you know, this can just grow. The more people that are aware of the need there, the more help and the more funding that can come in. So that's now what I'm doing. And then I'm taking a group. I'm so proud because now through my story, I've connected with five other women who were moved by what I shared. And now we're all going. I'm taking them on their first trip the first weekend of June.
How exciting.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question about Arbonne. Is it just coincidental that so many of you from Arbonne are now a part of this mission? Or is Arbonne, the company, actually supporting this mission as well? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. So it's coincidental. It started, this kind of movement within Arbonne was really started by the two women who had this relationship and this connection to Haiti. And, you know, Arbonne is a network marketing business. So part of what we do is we build networks. And they felt like what better, you know, there really is no better way to use your network than to serve others. And so they started putting this out on their own to their network of people that they know. So it's really kind of a grassroots. It's not exclusive to Arbonne, but there's a lot of us who are connected to Arbonne and have heard about this through Arbonne.
Well, and I think the other thing is that having an Arbonne business, and I'm going to have you tell everybody what Arbonne actually is, but
sure.
Having a business such as Arbonne gives you the flexibility to be able to get up and go, you know,
yes.
to Haiti for a week or two.
Absolutely. That's true.
Tell everybody what Arbonne is.
Yeah. So Arbonne is, it's a network marketing company, and network marketing companies, you know, they're similar to most people have heard of Mary Kay, or they've heard of Amway, or, you know, so they're companies that sell products through a channel of consultants. So you can't buy the products at the store. You have to get the products through a consultant or a direct agent of the company. And Arbonne is a vegan, botanically based company. So we're health and wellness. We have products from skincare, cosmetics, nutrition products. So health and wellness company, and, you know, part of the business model is that we allow, because we're flexible and part-time, we attract a lot of women, a lot of moms, and it's great because it's flexible and it allows us not only to build a business that fits into our lifestyle, but also to pursue our passions, such as this.
Yeah, I mean, that's evident, really. And the fact that there's so many of you, and
yeah.
I really think it does speak volumes for the type of people who sell Arbonne, you know, that you guys are also very not, you know, just conscious people.
Right. Yeah. It really tends to attract people who want to help others because that's what the model is all about. It's really, it's a big mentoring, helping, building teams together. So it tends to attract people who like to serve, attracts a lot of teachers, a lot of nurses, you know, a lot of people that are in professions that tend to want to serve others.
Right. Which is like me. And I was a teacher. Yeah. Until last June, I was a teacher also. And I was also connected with community service things my whole life. So, and I'm connecting myself to this because I know that I have audience members, my fellow motivators out there, who are connecting to this. And you know who you are. If you are out there listening right now and you are thinking, I can see the glory in this. I can see how she would be so inspired by this and how it could feel so good. But you've been telling yourself, you know, you're too busy or you have kids or, you know, you have all of these reasons why you can't get involved in something. And I'm not saying, obviously, that it needs to be what Kanani is doing here, but something that moves you in this way. So for them, what was your main hesitation or your main challenge in getting started in this, Kanani?
Yeah, so I think my main challenge was because I've always wanted to be involved on a big scale, a big global scale like this with a service project like this. But what held me back for many years is just how can I fit this in? How can I do this? How can I connect with the right organization and all these things? And I decided, though, that while I may not be able to get on a plane and go to Africa or Rwanda or Haiti, what I could do is start at home and start looking at organizations that do the kind of work that does inspire me and fulfill me and get more information and get involved. Because I find that even if you get involved, even if you can't commit, you don't have a whole lot of time, you don't have any money, if you get involved with an organization that inspires you, that you just feel so great about the work they're doing, you actually get more out of it than you're giving. You know, it's funny, people sign up to volunteer. Like going to Haiti, I went to volunteer and I got more out of it than I gave while I was there. And just getting involved on a local level with something, there's so much right here in our own communities that you can do depending on what your passion is. If it's children, if it's serving the elderly, if it's the vets, there's just so many things that you can do to get involved. And as you start to get involved, even on a small scale, you'll start to have those feelings and your vision will grow and it will expand into what you can do. And then along the way, when the time is right, the right opportunity, if you really do want to do something bigger like I did, the right opportunity will present itself.
And I would not be surprised if down the road, once you get all of this experience under your belt, because you're just going to get more and more ingrained in this, I bet, and more experience. And you're going to be networking with all sorts of people. And, you know, when your kids are grown, you may find yourself getting into something like this on a full-time basis.
That's exactly right. You know, for me, for right now, I need to be here and I'm grateful that I am able to be home with my kids. And that's my choice that I'm happy to make right now. But like exactly what you're saying, I have big plans already and big visions. My husband already knows. He's like, oh my gosh, the kids are going to be in college and you're going to be off in some country somewhere.
And you're going to come back and you'll be like, hon, you turned my room, you turned my bedroom into a man cave.
That's right.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself through all of this?
I've always had a heart to serve others, and I moved away from it for a while in my corporate years, and it kind of just got kind of pushed to the back burner. And I did all the things, climbed the corporate ladder and did all the things that I thought I was, you know, supposed to do, and my true passion was kind of pushed aside. And what I've learned is that there's no better feeling in the world than living your passion. And even if it's just for, you know, those 3 days while I was in Haiti, when I was fully immersed in my passion, there's nothing that can replace that feeling. You know, no raise that I got, no promotion that I got, no accolade I got felt the same as truly doing what I felt I was called to do. And like I said, even if it can't be your full-time gig, even being able to just tap into that feeling, it just really, it fills you up and it just keeps you going.
And, you know, I do talk about this all the time, so I hope my audience doesn't get tired of hearing me say this, but it's so true because I'm listening to you say, you know, that time while I was in corporate, you know, that may not have been exactly what I wanted to be doing. But the thing is, it's the skills that you learned while you were there in corporate that I think is going to be something that ends up, I mean, I know you're pulling from it now, but for you then to take this experience and connect all of that for later, it could really qualify you for not just on paper, but emotionally and the skills that you're going to have. You know, you're going to be ready to take things to the next level with that.
I really love looking at it that way because, you know, truly it's all part of the journey and every step along the way. I love thinking about all of my past experience and how it's led me to really be able to live this life that I envisioned for myself.
Well, right, because I don't believe, I mean, we all know you don't go from start to finish in one straight shot.
Right.
You know, there's all those curves, but those twists and turns are all meaningful. You know, they're there in your life for a reason. I believe that. And I don't believe the finish line is until you're 6 feet under. I mean, we're never done. I don't see the whole retire thing in my future. Like, I just see myself continuing to do things that I love.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't remember what book it was, but I read something about retirement, that retirement, you know, is such a stigma of you're, you know, finally able to quit that thing that you hated and you finally get to retire. And it's like, if you're living your life of passion or you're incorporating your passion into your life, there is no retirement because you never want to stop doing that.
But the problem is most people don't ever see that role modeling. Like your kids, you're giving your kids so many gifts, you know, by doing your passion. And I know a lot of moms think that is selfish. It is not selfish. Number one, you are showing your kids to live their passions. Number two, you're showing them to respect women and that what they want out of life is important. And your husband supporting that is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, no, I agree. I, you know, I see it with my children. I even see it with my husband. My husband's passion is, you know, he's a crazy, very demanding full-time job, but his passion is animals. And so we talked about it and said, how can we work your passion? He would love to quit his job and be an animal shelter director or something, but that's not realistic for us. So he volunteers on the weekends and that's how he works his passion in. So we're trying to show our children that it is important to follow your passion and to have that as a part of your life in any way that you can.
He's a perfect candidate for the show. So basically, I just got two birds with one stone here. For those people out there right now getting excited about what you're talking about, is there a resource that you can give them, something inspirational, maybe a book that kind of helped push you even further with this idea of acting in it and philanthropy?
Yeah. So I saw a TED Talk and it was a woman named Cheryl Wudunn, and she had written a book, co-authored a book called Half the Sky. And I watched the TED Talk. It completely moved me. I bawled through the entire thing. And then I bought the book, and it was all about about the plight of women around the world and how oppressed women are around the world. And it was about what you can do. It was really kind of geared toward people like me who feel like sometimes the problems are so great, so big. How can someone like me make even a dent in that? And it talked about how you can, as a person sitting in suburban New Jersey, a mom, I can make a difference. And it moved me to doing something and to really kind of reinforcing that I can do something and I can make a difference.
The fight song with the lyric that says, one match can cause an explosion.
Yes, is I love my, that song.
That's my theme song right now. That's going to be, you know, I'm taking my show on a 50-state tour, and that is my theme song right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now that we've talked all about what this can add to people's lives. If there is somebody out there who's listening and we want to get them to execute a plan, they need to envision themselves doing it right and then explore what it would take in order to get that first step going. So to bring the service of others into your life, what should they first envision?
So really, I think people, you know, like you, people recognize when they have that need to serve because of the feeling that they get when they're doing it. So whether it's serving at a local soup kitchen once a month, you know, any kind of service, you get that feeling. So when you get that feeling, you have to hang on to it and you have to kind of acknowledge it. And you know that that's the feeling that you want to have, and you want to find more ways in your life to have that feeling more often. So that's the first thing, is identify what's bringing you joy and what's bringing you that fulfillment. And then try to find locally within your community ways to act on that. So whether it's an organization, a nonprofit, a church, a school, you know, find opportunities so that you can do what brings you that joy and that feeling.
Okay. So that's envision and that's explore. And then the first step to execute is what?
And then you just have to, you have to do it. You have to act on it. So you have to sign up or go to a meeting to find out more information, or start a campaign or do a bake sale to raise money. You have to take action and do the thing. You actually have to do it. You can't just keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it.
And I want to know, how big of a role do you think your Arbon buddies were for you? You saw a picture and you reached out, and then you had somebody kind of bring you on board. Do you think that people should be on the lookout for people that they know who are already doing something that they might want to just kind of jump on because it's safe? They already know somebody doing it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think social media gives us an amazing way to do that. I mean, you could put a post on your Facebook page, that you were interested in doing XYZ. And I bet you could have, you know, a bunch of responses within an hour of other people who are either connected to someone or connected to an organization or supportive or encouraging. And I think that's a great way to get started. And it's always fun. It's always better doing something with friends anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So what closing advice do you have?
I think for me, you know, that it's service, and that might not be everyone else's passion, but you know, whatever it is, I do believe that we were put on this earth to do more than just take care of ourselves. And so I think if you feel called in that direction, and you feel nudged in that direction, I think you should really act on it. You should just look for ways to get more involved, and you'll never look back and you'll never be sorry that you did. You'll be so grateful that you did. So my closing advice would just be, if you're feeling nudged at all in any direction, you probably also have something in your mind that makes you feel that way, and just act on it.
So Kanani, I would like to make you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System on Facebook, so people can reach out to you there and ask questions, and you can even keep us in the loop of things that you're doing in Haiti, if that sounds good to you.
That's fantastic. I would love to. Thank you so much.
And what other contact information would you like to share?
So Facebook is great. If people want to message me or friend me on Facebook, I'm happy to do that. And then I also have a website that you can reach me via my Arbon business. And it's just my first name and last name, KananiBriggs.Arbon.com.
And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And the organization that you are affiliated with is Mission of Hope Haiti.
Yes. So right. It's MOHH.org.
Okay. In case anybody wants to look into that as well. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Really, really inspirational.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynette. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure was all mine. So today, everybody, your go-do is... Kanani, what should they do today to get out and step in the right direction right now?
Take 5 minutes, make a list of the things that bring them joy, the fulfillment and passion that they're looking for. Make a list of that so that they can act on it.
I like it. That's it, everybody. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.